Good morning, everyone. Before I start, I'd like to share some news about myself. As of Tuesday was my last day at work, and I'm not sure if that's good or bad, but so I've joined the ranks of full-time pensioners. How's that? Looking back. But there's so many pensions around me, you seem to be all happy, and so. in our last LIC's pastoral team meeting, I brought up a topic about church life, and Elle said, "Well, I'd like you to share that with the congregation." So here I am. Says me for bringing up ideas. And before I get lost in my speech, because I'm not a very organized speaker, I will say what I'm going to talk about. It's the gist of my speech will be, how can we ensure, in spite of our limitations, all are taken care of in their hour of need in our congregation? And basically all I want to do with this is to bring an awareness and a discussion of how can we help each other. What brought about this speech was that I was wondering about certain people that were sick or having gone through difficult times, and I was wondering now who's looking after that person. Is someone sort of assigned, or is someone that knows them is taking care of them, or they're suffering on their own, and sort of... So basically that's what brought this. And of course to get the credentials for speaking on this topic, I'm quoting the Bible, so it's not it's coming out from me. So I will read Romans 12, verses 3 to 16. And I think they basically describe the how church life ideally should be like in the eyes of God. Paul says in Romans 12, beginning in verse 3, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think with sober discernment, as God has distributed to each of you a measure of faith. For just as one body we have many members, and not all members serve the same function, so we who are many are in one in body in Christ, and individually we are members who belong to one another." And I think that's an important thing to remember. We belong to one another, members of the body of Christ. "And we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If the gift is prophecy, that individual must use it in proportion to his faith. If it is service, he must serve. If it's teaching, he must teach. If it's exhortation, he must exhort. If it's contributing, he must do so with sincerity. If it's leadership, he must do so with diligence. If it's shown mercy, he must do so with cheerfulness. Love must be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another with mutual love. Show an eagerness in honoring one another. Do not lack in zeal. Be enthusiastic in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Endure in suffering. Persist in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those that weep. Live in harmony with one another. And do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not be conceited." So the main point I want to bring out of that passage is that we are one body. We're members of one another. We belong to one another. We're not individuals, so to speak, pursuing our own ends, and church is something we come to and we forget about it when we leave from here. Now, before anyone accuses me that I'm being negative, I don't want to be negative. I know there's a lot of you that are serving cheerfully. They're sacrificing your time, your finances, or whatever it is, and I commend it, and like I said, it's not here to criticize. This is something that we can find ways, better ways, or more effective ways to serve one another. And to continue on from what Paul was saying, we go to the book of Genesis, where God told Cain, he says, where is your brother? Fully knowing well what Cain had done, but Cain's attitude was instructive, and he said, am I my brother's keeper? I don't know what's happening with my brother. And that's the opposite of the attitude that we should have, because we are brothers, we are members of one another. And because we are members of one another, we are accountable too. We are accountable to God of how we serve one another. And some of those things I haven't even written down. I couldn't sleep last night. All these thoughts were coming to mind. So this one came to mind. In the parable of the goats and the sheep, you know, when God, he says, judges the nations and bring them to judgment, he's not going to look at their doctrinal things. He's not going to look at their anything else about them except how they loved one another. He says, I was hungry and you fed me. I was sick and you visited me. These are the kind of things that are far more important to God than anything else. So, which boil down to loving one another. Now, to also remind us that, remember, a few years ago, that the ministry of all believers was talked about, that we don't have, in our case, we do have a super pastor, but he said we don't rely on a super pastor to do everything for us. We are members of each other. We are serving one another with the ministry of all believers. So that's where we should be doing. So I also was thinking not only just for people that are in need, sick and all that, but I'm also thinking that people have ministries in the church. And because we're such a small group, the pool of people that are maybe equipped, you know, we have handicaps, we're mobility, finances, distance. I mean, we are spread from Mornington to Bayswater, so in between there is not sort of the mobility that we can have to serve each other if there's a need. And I would like to make a couple of suggestions maybe, but like I said, this is not for me to bring suggestions, but this is to generate a discussion so that we can maybe come up with ideas of how we can help. And the thing about the ministries I was thinking of, and I'm not singling anyone out, that we sort of sometimes we can become stuck in a job, and we're sort of getting old, we're limited, and to be fair, yes, there's no one else that wants the job. I'm speaking now as one of us, I'm not, but I'd say every one of us can help that person to make their load easier. We can help them to make their job easier, like if someone hasn't got room or someone needs someone to carry something or count something or whatever. Whatever the job is, I mean, even just here, I know Barry and Pam and Andrew, they serve the congregation in so many different ways every week. They're here early, they leave last. How can we sort of make their lot easier? For example, I'm hoping you don't mind me, Pam, bringing your name up. But we can make each other's lot easier by sort of having that attitude of wanting to be involved, wanting to help, and not sort of... In a big church, sometimes maybe we can also look back in the old days where we had the deacons. You know, they took care of everything. Derek can affirm on that one, that they had the responsibility of visiting, of taking care of the needy or setting up halls, whatever. And maybe the rest of us sometimes we just, you know, we didn't know what our role was supposed to be, and we left it to them. So we can't afford to do that anymore. We are a small group, and we need every hand on board to be able to function and to... And I think God is pleased, not so much of what we can do in one sense, because, like I said, we are limited by age, by finances, by mobility, whatever their limitations is. But unless we are sort of in a coma... Everyone can do something because we can pray for one another. We can let each other know we're thinking of them, we're praying for them. So we don't have to sort of Beatia being Mother Teresa to everyone, but we can sort of do something to show like that we do care, to tell that person we care. And so in the Greek word, when the question is, who is my neighbor? The Greek word is plesion. That means the one that's near to you. It doesn't have to be Samaritan that goes by. It can be the person that's next to you. It can be your wife. It can be your children. It can be, and since we are a family in the church, it can be another member in the church that lives closer to you. So the two suggestions that I had was, I know in the Muralbach church there is a go-to phone number, a go-to person that someone has a need that family can't take care of. They can ring up and someone, volunteer people in the church can volunteer to go and take care of that need. If they need some food cooked or transport to go somewhere, so there is a... Now, we're limited in that regard. But that's one suggestion. The other suggestion I think is the more obvious one, that if you live closer to one person, I think you can help, and if you can't help, you can sort of ring someone that might be able to help. So as long as we sort of don't neglect anyone, I think that's my my concern, because sometimes people can walk out of the church, and I can bring maybe Jack in that regard, and sort of it seems like he didn't have any close friends that you could have talked to them about it, or it was anyone that's close enough to him to be able to inquire about him and say, what's going on? Have you got any problems? So sometimes we also need to make ourselves available to one another. We need to be able to share our life with others. If we sort of come across as if we got it all together and we don't need anyone, we sort of find it very hard for people to approach us if we do have a problem later on in life and they need some help. So if anyone wants to throw tomatoes at me later, feel free not. But I'm talking to you as like my brethren. I'm not sort of here to preach. I'm here to share my concerns. And if they resonate with any of you, hopefully we can talk to each other and come up with some solutions of how we can better serve each other. So this is a church life, which is to me is more of about church life. It's about our church life. So, but I do have one more thing to share. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1 to 5. Paul says to the Corinthians about the brethren in Macedonia. He says, "Moreover, brothers, we want you to experience the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty overflowed towards the riches of their generous giving. For I bear record that according to their means and beyond their means, they freely gave, begging us with much urgency that we should receive the gift and the fellowship of ministering to the saints. This they did." And I think this one is important. "Not as we expected," he says, "but first they gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." And sometimes giving, brethren, doesn't come naturally to us. We are basically selfish human beings. We look after ourselves first and foremost in the medial circle, and the love that extends to others comes from God. And it says the Macedonian brethren gave themselves to the Lord first. And that's where the love and the ability to care for others comes from. And unless we first give ourselves to the Lord, our giving to others is not going to be good enough. It's not going to come from a sincere heart. It's not going to be what God wills. So my last words on this is, we need God's help in order to serve and to give of ourselves to each other. But we can't do it without first giving ourselves to God. It's not a once-off. We must daily come to Him for the will, the strength, even the desire to serve Him in serving one another. None of us can say, what can I do? We all can do something, even if it's only to encourage those who are working among us and pray for the ones that need our prayers. So I'll leave these thoughts with you, and maybe hopefully you can generate some discussion and got any ideas of how we can better serve each other. Please make them known to the authorities that be, Hal, or Barry and Pam, and even me. So thank you.